Well, the food industry is growing like a weed by selling us food labeled organic. The tremendous growth rate of this organic industry leads us to ask, are all foods labeled organic, organic?
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Show with your host, Michael Olson. Now, get ready for an hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Well, hello out there. You are tuned into the 923rd edition of the Food Chain Radio program right here on News Talk Radio. Hey, perhaps you're among our friends who are tuned in over there on the island of Luzon as we stream along on the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com. Well, whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome aboard. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio, with engineer Ricochet on the boards. Rick, let me ask you this. Are all of the foods labeled organic, organic?
I'm going to say no.
You're going to say no. Also with us today, we have producer Kelly Bayer. Kelly, are all of the foods labeled organic, organic?
Well, I thought I could rely on the organic label, but we'll see.
We'll see, huh? Okay. Well, folks, let's file this one under Michael Olson's second law of the food chain, which is, quite simply, the farther we go from the source of our food, the less control we have over what's in that food. On average, the food we now eat travels well over 1,000 miles from where it was grown. As a consequence of this distance, we are losing track of who is growing our food and how they are growing it. Now, one way we can regain some control over the food we eat is to buy the food that displays the organic label. Foods that have been certified organic were grown and processed without synthetic fertilizers and pesticides, nor do they contain genetically modified organisms, or GMOs. At least, that is what we want to believe. Our demand for purity is causing the organic foods industry to, if you'll pardon the expression, grow like a weed, from $60 billion today to an estimated $105 billion in a few short years by 2015. Wow. All that money leads us to ask, are all the foods labeled organic? Organic. And today we have a couple of very good authorities to help us out. We'll start with Misha Popoff. Misha, we're going to start with you because you are the person who raised this question to me. He said, Michael, when are you going to do a show about labeling or organic foods? So, or testing organic foods? And I took your question and walked it around some people who are intimately connected with the organic industry, and whenever I put that question on the table, I ended up with a long discussion, so I thought, well, here we go. And since you raised the question, here you are. So welcome aboard. Last time we had you on the food chain, number 725, with the late Barney Brickmont and also Mark Castle from the Cornucopia Institute, who is our other guest today. So what do you think? Are all of the foods labeled organic, organic?
Well, the quickest way to tell would be to test them, and you need to test them in the field. Most of the things which are prohibited in organic production aren't even theoretically detectable after harvest, so you've got to do what's called field testing.
Okay.
And
so,
as luck would have it.
Yeah, but let me back up and ask you the question. Do you think that everything...
No,
that,
no.
I don't think so. Is there any way of... Just human nature,
sorry,
right?
It's human nature, yeah. I mean, like, look what Bernie Madoff did when the Securities and Exchange Commission dumped a pile of paperwork on him. Well, he filled out all that paperwork and actually became the darling of the Securities and Exchange Commission. They said, look, Bernie Madoff is keeping up on all his accounting, and why can't you? And that, and then that all blew up in their face. I mean, anyone can fill out paperwork.
Okay, and Misha, you kind of have become the notorious expert on this, and notorious by that, I mean, when I announced that you were going to be on the radio show today, I got lots of complaints. Why do people complain when I have you on the radio?
I guess if I could, if I dare to blow my own horn, Michael, it would be the same reason why automobile manufacturers used to complain about Ralph Nader back in the 70s.
Okay.
They were convinced he was just out to destroy the American automobile industry, when, in fact, now if we look back in hindsight, I defy you to find any automobile executive who wouldn't applaud what Ralph Nader did in bringing seatbelts, shatterproof glass, and the like to the automobile industry.
Well, okay, fair enough. Also, with us, I also note, by the way, that somebody sent me a link, and that the link led to a news story about you being kicked out of the Conservative Party up there in Canada.
Yeah.
So you're ostracized by just about everybody, right?
Well, no, I'm a member in good standing of the Heartland Institute, the Frontier Center for Public Policy, which is a Canadian think tank. And I'm also joining the Committee for a Constructive Tomorrow, just in the process of joining them, that's CFACT. And I do a regular tour of the public speaking circuit, so I've never had eggs or rotten tomatoes thrown at me yet on those public speaking engagements, so I like to think I'm well received in most circles. But yeah, you're right, I was booted out of the Conservative Party here in British Columbia in Canada. Because I said what Barack Obama said just a couple weeks ago is that dads should stick around and raise their families. That's exactly what I said. The leader of the party here thought that he was going to lose the women's vote in the lower mainland of British Columbia. So he booted me out. But I have yet to find any women who really disagree with that. I don't think any woman actually wants to be abandoned by the father of her children.
So... welcome, Misha, and thank you for asking that question. Should we test organics? Because when you start to think about it, it is a very interesting question. Here also today to join us, we have one of my favorites, Mark Kastoff from the Cornucopia Institute. Cornucopia Institute is a longtime governor of the organic world, and I don't know if anybody who's done more to keep organics on the straight and narrow than the Cornucopia Institute. Mark, welcome to the food chain.
Thank you, Michael, and thank you for your kind words.
Well, you've been working at this for a long, long time. Let me ask you, Mark, are all of the foods labeled organic?
I'm sure if we were going to look at this scientifically, the answer would be no. But from all the research that we've done, the problems are an aberration. We have a lot of systemic problems in our food system, both domestic and imported foods, and organics is affording consumers a way to vote in the marketplace for an alternative. It's federally regulated. It's governed by federal law. There are some strict penalties. And in addition, there's an additional layer of oversight, and that's organic stakeholders, the farmers themselves, many entrepreneurs who've invested in this industry, public interest charities like the Cornucopia Institute that act as organic industry watchdogs. We're looking over the shoulder of the corporations that have invested in organics and the USDA in terms of governmental oversight, to make sure that they're enforcing the law properly. We're not 100% satisfied, but certainly there are really no alternatives in the marketplace. So it pays to invest in protecting the integrity of this label. Mr. Popoff, unfortunately, is not Ralph Nader. Ralph Nader founded another public interest group, respected group, called Public Citizen. He's a published author. Mr. Popoff self-published his own book, and I think just the subtitle of his book is very telling. The subtitle is The Story of Who Destroyed the Organic Industry, Turned It Into a Socialist Movement, Made Millions in the Process, and the Comprehensive History of Farming, Welfare, Western Civilization from 1645 to the present. This gentleman must be a heck of a scholar, because I can help you decode the organic industry, but many of these other subjects I'm not qualified to speak to.
Well, okay, so it seems like we have a couple of good gentlemen who are astute observers of the organic industry that don't quite agree with each other, but let's see if we can focus on this question of testing. And the organic industry is growing like a weed. $105 billion estimated income by 2015, which is in, 2 years? Oh my goodness, that's a lot of money. So the value of that label is simply incredible. You look at what the Chinese just paid for Smithfield Foods label. They bought a label for billions of dollars. And if you think of how valuable the organic label is to the organic industry, you just have to do something to protect the veracity of that label, because if you lose that, then the organic industry is really in deep doo-doo. So it's really significant that we address this issue of how to maintain the veracity of that label. Now, they say upwards of 80% of our food now comes from foreign lands of our organic foods. Now, when I see something that comes from China that says organic, I'm not sure if I believe it. And so that's what we're going to come to grips with when we come back from this quick break. Folks, this is the Food Chain Radio program. Michael Olson. The subject today, should we or should we not test organic foods? We have a label. We have people who certify that the label is what it is. And yet the industry is so big and growing so fast. The temptation must be so great. Do stay tuned. Right back.
Get this. You can earn a 5, 6, or 7-figure income by farming a small parcel of land in or near the city. You can be old or young, rich or poor, married or single. You can rent, lease, or own. You can farm small fruits on prairie bench lands, houseplants in coastal valleys, flowers on steep wooded hillsides, vegetables in city green belts, ornamentals in neighborhoods of million-dollar homes. There's only one catch. You must compete with other farmers for the consumer dollars. You can compete with others and win the consumer dollars with the help of MetroFarm, the guide to growing for profit in or near the city. MetroFarm is the Ben Franklin Book of the Year award winner that will guide you step by step through the planning and development of your very own income-generating metropolitan farm. Abraham Lincoln said the greatest fine art of the future will be the making of a comfortable living on a small parcel of land. Get in on the future today. Get a copy of MetroFarm at www.metrofarm.com.
Well, what do you think out there? Do you think that all of the foods labeled organic are organic? That's the question on the table today. But beyond that, I'm a skeptic of everything. I believe everything and everybody, but I always want to cut the cards, right? And how do we cut the cards on this one? I guess testing is one way, but how do we test, or how could we possibly test all of that food? And if we don't test, then we're kind of just stuck believing with what people want to tell us in an industry that is becoming so big and so lucrative that we just wonder. So let's go back to the industry itself. Misha Popoff, you're a notorious critic of the organic industry. So let me ask you this. Why is organic growing so big and so fast? What is it that consumers are looking for here that they don't seem to be finding somewhere else?
Well, the organic industry, which I grew up in, by the way, before I became an organic inspector, I lived and worked on an organic grain farm. The organic industry promises everything, quite literally everything that that people want out of their food. They want it to be pure, lessened or zero toxicity. They want it to be more nutritious, and of course they want it to be sustainable. They want to know, you know, that songbirds aren't being wiped out by indiscriminate spraying, for instance, back on the farm when they pick up something at the grocery store. So the organic industry promises all of those things, but without testing, I mean, it's a complete free-for-all.
Are the consumers not getting that elsewhere? I mean, there is such incredible demand, and the demand has to be caused by something. What is it that causes this demand?
Oh, well, I can't crawl into the psychology of the consumer, but I know I'm a parent of 3 young children, and a good example is malathion used on peaches and strawberries. For little boys under the age of 2, it can render them sterile. Now, there hasn't been any cases of that, so then we can say, sort of as you're alluding to here, Michael, can't they get that purity somewhere else? Sure they can. They can get that from the regular food industry, because the regular food industry keeps a cap on the level of malathion going to the store shelf. They keep a very, very, very low tolerance on that.
Okay, well, Misha, just a sec. That you're getting right to where I want to go here. If the conventional industry is providing that, why are so many people not believing them?
Because in the conventional industry, let's look at imports for a minute. You said, you know, 80% of the organic food is imported and quite a lot of regular food is. You're lucky if the USDA and FDA are opening 1 out of every 100 containers coming into port. And then once they open the container, you know, that doesn't do anything. They just look to make sure there's no rat feces on the floor in front of them. Sometimes that's it. They close the door right up, and that's it. That counts as an inspection. 1 out of 100 incoming shipments. With the organic industry, we inspect every farm every year. That's a 100% rate of inspection instead of 1 out of 100. And all I'm saying is we should actually do a test when we visit a farm instead of just observing and looking over paperwork.
Okay, let's go to Mark. Mark, why is this organic industry growing so big and so fast? Where's the demand coming from?
Well, there's a good reason to be concerned with the safety and nutritional value, which is deteriorated in our conventional food supply. Not only is the food have measurable levels of toxic agrochemicals, antibiotics, artificial hormones, parasiticides, and other drugs. Some of these levels, even in their most minute forms, become endocrine mimickers or artificial hormones that could have catastrophic human impacts in utero and for developing children. But I have to correct the record on a couple of things. The 80% imports of organic food, Michael, that comes from Mr. Popoff, who has no scientific basis for that.
Do you think comes? What is your figure?
Unfortunately, the USDA doesn't track it separately, and it depends on the commodity. If it's frozen fruits and vegetables, it might be 25% to 35%. If it's dairy products, it might be close to zero. If it's fresh market vegetables during the winter, it's probably in the same percentage as conventional food. Some items are coming from Mexico in the winter, mm-hmm. mostly from California. But I just want to...
So it's still fair to say that we're getting a lot of organic foods from offshore.
And it deserves scrutiny. Conventional mm-hmm. and organic food imported, I don't trust, and deserves scrutiny. But I want to just speak to Mr. Popoff's thesis on testing. It would be... And this is where the brickbats are being thrown. The conservative think tanks that he's affiliated with and others that are trying to destroy the credibility of organics. This is a totally unworkable system, Michael. There are a myriad of different...
Mark, before we go there, can we back up just a little bit? I'm going to give you a whole bunch of time to discuss this. But I'd like to go to the... value of the organic industry and what we're doing today so that people who are listening can have a little foundation so that we can go into this discussion of testing here. First of all, we've got a label, certified organic, that's now owned by the federal government, as it were, and is becoming extremely valuable. I mean, the industry now estimated somewhere in the neighborhood of the worldwide industry is $60 billion a year. By 2015, in 2 years, estimated to be $105 billion. Huge, huge, huge industry. And it's all based on the veracity of a label. When we see that organic label, we believe. And so it's extremely important that we hold on to that belief and do what we can to maintain the veracity of that organic label. So what is it that we're doing right now, Mark, to maintain, how does the industry maintain the veracity of that label today?
Well, right now we inspect every farm, every processor every year, but more importantly than physically investigating how the food is grown or processed, we audit on an annual basis the paper trail of every input that comes out of the farm, all the commodities are sold to make sure that reconciles. They say they sold X number of bushels of corn. How many acres did they grow? What was the yield? But here's the misnomer about testing. Although it would be financially impossible to test all chemicals mm-hmm. in all organics, right now they're phasing in, and we've been quite a critic of the USDA that this hasn't happened sooner. But a spot testing program, just like the Internal Revenue Service doesn't audit 100% of tax returns. There was no way we could afford to do that.
Okay, but let me back you up just a little bit here. Now, what's wrong with the way we're doing things today? You say that we visit every farm every year. We monitor how people are growing things and what they use. We track their products. We force them to use paperwork. How is it possible for anybody to cheat? So what's wrong with that system?
I don't think, Michael, there's anything fundamentally wrong with that system. There are checks and balances, and one of those checks that we're very happy about seeing implemented right now is a spot testing program.
Okay, hold that thought. Let me go to Misha. Misha, what's wrong with the way we're doing things right now? You're the critic of the industry. You're the one who asks, why aren't we testing? So what's wrong with the way we're doing things right now? Oops.
Well, briefly,
there goes the music for the break. So you're going to have to answer that question when we come back. We're doing a lot to maintain the veracity of that organic label that's worth billions to farmers, to consumers, to the world. It means a lot. Have to maintain that veracity of that label. If people get to thinking that it's a lie, it will destroy a huge industry. So it's extremely important that we maintain that. How do we maintain that? Today we have certification agencies. Are they good enough? That's the question that we have on the table for Misha Popoff when we get back. What do you think out there? 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Right back. Holy smokes, folks. The food industry is growing like a weed by selling us organic foods. $60 billion this year to $105 billion in a couple of years, 2015. The tremendous amount of money in this industry leads us to ask, are all of the foods that are labeled organic, organic? That's the question on the table today. A huge question because the value of that label, organic, is so incredibly important to agriculture and to consumers as well, that the veracity of that label is just paramount importance. And so that's what we're talking about today, is how do we maintain the veracity or the truthfulness of the organic label. And with us today, we have a couple of people who talk a lot about this, one being Mark Castle, co-founder of Cornucopia Institute. Cornucopia, a long-time defender of the organic industry by being one of its principal watchdogs. Also, Misha Popoff, author of Is It Organic?, a longtime critic of the organic industry. And so today we're kind of headed down the same tracks as far as I can see, in that we're both looking to pretty much do the same thing, hopefully, which is to maintain the veracity of that label. And we're talking about what we do now, today, to maintain that veracity, and we talked about all the certifiers and whatnot to guard that label, and I'm asking Misha Popoff, what's wrong with what we do today? Misha?
Yeah. Well, paperwork can be falsified, and that's why, as Mr. Castell correctly points out, the USDA is finally, after about 15 years, finally moving towards implementing some testing of organic farms. Unfortunately, their plan is to test about 1%. They might graduate that up to 5%, but it remains to be seen if any of the foreign suppliers to the American market will be tested. The USDA claims it doesn't have authority overseas. Well, if they don't have authority, why are they giving this label, as you've so correctly pointed out, Michael? Why are they letting the Chinese and the Brazilians and Mexicans and the Turks use this label? And I mentioned the Turks because we just had a hepatitis outbreak in certified organic berry mix from Costco.
Were those berries from Turkey?
Yeah, berries from Turkey. Yeah. And so not only is there no testing for herbicides, pesticides, and all this, those things, there's also no testing for fecal coliforms, feces resulting from improperly composted manure, which, as you can imagine, we're far more susceptible to that in the organic industry because we don't use synthetic ammonium nitrate. So here's the USDA with this multi-billion-dollar label, and they're just basically selling it to anyone who can pay for it through a private certifying company, and then fill out a bunch of paperwork.
Hang on, Mark. So Misha, you see that there is a problem here, and what do you propose as a solution?
One test per farm per year. Mr. Castell is right. You'd go broke trying to test for everything, but we don't do that in any other field of business. So just do, for instance, a broad spectrum herbicide analysis. That'll cost you about $100, which is less than a tenth of what organic farmers pay to be certified up front. And then organic farmers pay royalties to the certifying bodies. So there's thousands of dollars a year being paid, and people in the industry are saying, well, we can't afford a broad spectrum herbicide analysis. As I say, it's $100. And by the way, a fecal coliform test, which would have prevented this hepatitis outbreak from turkey, that's $20. So I don't know what the problem is here.
Okay, Mark.
Well, first of all, Michael, let's make sure we're dealing with true facts. The USDA is not proposing a 1% testing regime. The law says 5%. Mm-hmm. Number two, the USDA does have the authority to inspect farms and to do testing overseas. It's part of the law. They're doing it right now. Number three, this contamination problem was not concerning berries from Turkey. It was concerning, it looks like right now, contaminated pomegranate seeds. And finally, you could test for herbicides, but what happens if somebody's cheating and using insecticides? So completely depending on tests is
Can
not
I back
practical.
Up a little bit to this berry contamination? Because that was something that affected our hometown. We have some people that came down with hepatitis A.
Sorry to hear that.
From the eating the organic berries from Costco, I think it was, they bought it. And it was an outfit called Townsend Farms. Am I right to understand that those berries came from Turkey?
No, that's incorrect. It was a mix of berries grown in the United States, Chile, and Argentina, along with some pomegranate seeds that were grown in Turkey. Let me emphasize, Michael, most of the pathogenetic contamination that causes foodborne illnesses come from conventional food. Most of the sourcing of these problems, as hepatitis is a bit of an aberration, are problems with salmonella, listeria, and E. coli, and the sources are usually industrial factory farm agriculture, livestock production. So it contaminates our environment, it contaminates our produce. There's nothing dangerous in itself about, let's say, raw spinach, but if you contaminate that with a byproduct of fecal matter from a industrial livestock confinement operation, you might end up making people sick. So we really need to look at how we are raising food, and that's part of what we're doing in organics, trying to change the standard paradigm away from some of these destructive and dangerous practices. Yeah,
and which, of course, is the reason why the demand is going through the roof.
Absolutely.
With respect to them. And again, the reason why the veracity of that label is so incredibly important. It seems to me that both of you are kind of talking about the same thing. Both of you are suggesting that there is a need to test. Am I wrong, Mark?
No, I think you're right. The difference is one is a virtually impossible economic logistical situation. That's what Mr. Popoff is suggesting. And the other, if we spot test 5% of the crops, and have some very, very rigorous enforcement and penalties so that people know that there's this extra hammer. I don't think we have widespread fraud in organics, but the potential's there. So what do we do to create a tremendous disincentive for the company that's willing to cut corners? Because that really violates consumer trust, and it places the majority of all organic farmers and brands and processors who are acting ethically, it places them at a competitive disadvantage.
Sure,
we won't stand
sure.
for it.
It destroys the veracity of the label.
And that's the value, as you've said.
Yeah, and without that, without us believing in that label, then the label's worth nothing. doesn't mean a thing if we don't believe in it.
Yeah. But we have a difference of opinion here, and one of the two spokespeople on this phone, Michael, is associated with think tanks that get their money from Monsanto, DuPont, and the agrochemical industry. And these are the Heartland Institute, the Hudson Institute. There are people who've made their careers, among them Mr. Popoff, in trying to discredit this label. So although you've suggested that there are two interested stakeholders here, I think the motivations are quite different.
Well, okay, then we'll check in with Mr. Popoff's motives when we get back from this break. But let me ask you out there, do you think that all of the foods that are labeled organic are organic? We're at 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. This is the Food Chain Radio Program. Michael Olson. Today we have Mark Castle, co-founder of the Cornucopia Institute, Misha Popoff, author of Is It Organic? And you. Do stay tuned. Well, folks, in a couple of short years, the organic label on the food that we buy will be worth somewhere in the neighborhood of $100 billion. Oh, my goodness, that's a lot of money. And given that much money, there's probably a lot of temptation in there for people to cut corners, get this food from someplace else. It's not quite as organic as we'd like to think it is. And so we're talking about how we protect the veracity and the value of that label today. And we're talking right now with Misha Popoff, and we're asking Misha, what is what is it about you that the organic people find so unattractive? Well, are you out to destroy the organic industry? Is that what you're doing here? What's going on?
Well, Ralph Nader wasn't out to destroy the automobile industry, and I'm not out to destroy the organic industry that I grew up and worked
but
in.
But Ralph Nader did destroy the Corvair.
Yeah, and it deserved to be destroyed. And in so doing, he made every other car on the road safer. So if a few companies that are cheating right now go down in flames, thanks to me, I'm all for it. And that'll strengthen the rest of the market. By the way, I don't know where Mark got this list of companies I'm working for. I don't work for Dow or DuPont. I don't make a cent off of any of those companies. Throw in Monsanto and Bayer. I don't make any money off of any of those people. None of them.
Okay, fair enough. Let me ask you, Misha Popoff, what exactly would you like to do to protect the organic? Do you want to protect it?
One test per farm per year. It'll not only protect the integrity of the organic label, it'll protect Canadian and American organic farmers who right now fill a small share, like less than a quarter of the domestic market for organic food.
Okay.
Because right now, paperwork allows all of these cheap imports to come into the country. Now, I don't want a trade barrier to stop these imports. I just want a test on every farm. Every year, it'll be like $100, and that's it. And you can add it into the current system. I think we should cut down
test per year prevent cheating?
Oh, yeah, because they don't know what you're testing for. Mr. Castell is right. There are many tests you could do. But if they don't know what you're testing for, then that'll put the fear of God into it. Right now, there's no testing.
It would kind of like be a random drug test on athletes, on all the athletes.
You got it.
Instead of just
exactly.
A few of the athletes. So a caller calls in and asks, how does USDA organics compare with other nations' organics? Mark?
It varies. There are some international standards. In most cases, ours are pretty strict. We have now harmonized standards with Canada. We're a little bit skeptical that their regulations and enforcement is being done at as high a level as the USDA. We've instituted a bit of research and investigation. The USDA is looking into this. If they don't respond responsibly, we'll make this a public debate. But it's not so much the standards internationally that are in dispute, Michael. It's the enforcement mechanisms. Mm-hmm. Are the inspection protocols being done as well in terms of imports? And I don't think so. But again, there's no basis for the claim that 80% of North American organics are imported. It's a specious argument. Okay. I can give you an example.
Let's accept that. But let me ask you this, Mark, or
yes.
Mr. Popoff brings up, Misha brings up this interesting notion that if every farm is inspected once a year for something, nobody knows what you will be inspected for, but if each farm is inspected, then we could get rid of the certification agencies.
Yeah, it's impossible because we need to inspect all kinds of ecological crop rotations, the way they're caring for the land, the way they care for animals. We need to make sure that dairy cows are actually grazing, that chickens that lay eggs and poultry are outside on grass in proper environments so that they can have a respectful life. It not only is the humane way to treat animals, unlike the conventional feedlot system, but it results in food that tastes better and is in demonstrably higher nutritional value. You can't substitute a test for all that. And I think that a really rigorous spot testing program will be an adequate hammer. A universal testing program replacing organic certification would, in essence, destroy this industry. And unfortunately,
why would it destroy the industry?
Because we need that on-site inspection every year.
Okay.
We need to have the revenue set aside to pay for that. The testing itself is expensive. But more importantly, you can't do the testing without an independent inspector. We can't have farmers collect their own samples or processing companies. You have to have someone trained, certified, independent, who is professionally capable of collecting those samples and isolating them so you don't end up with cross-contamination. So it's a very intricate and potentially expensive process to do it right. That's why by isolating it to a random 5%, no one knows what they will be tested for or if they'll be tested in a given year. And then some, again, Michael, very aggressive penalties for anyone found willfully violating the law.
You know, that's both Mark and Misha, seems to me where the issue is that what do you do when you find somebody cheating? You know, given the value of what we're talking about here, a label that, you know, by 2015 they say it will be worth about $100 billion, it would seem to be very important that you actually do something to, you know, discourage the abuse of that label. And so what could we possibly do that would discourage that use? Do stay tuned. We will be right back on the Food Chain with Mark and Misha and you. Well, what to do, folks? How do we protect the value of that incredibly valuable organic label? Now, producer Kelly Bayer has an idea that she'd like to pitch. So pitch away, Kelly.
Okay. Am I on? Okay.
Yeah.
So it seems like it's a lot to ask the certifiers to go to every farm once a year and test. That's a lot of manpower. So we could share the burden of work by putting some high schools or something in charge of testing. They are all doing like chemistry.
High school chemistry classes. What about it? What about sending high school chemistry classes into the field to test organic farmers? Mark?
Kelly, you should be applying for a job at the Cornucopia Institute.
Oh, okay.
It's an interesting idea that could possibly adjunct the professional inspectors out there, and we'd certainly be willing to entertain that. I don't know that that would have the weight of law, but certainly it could help us pinpoint problems and give budding young agriculturalists an idea of what it's like to get out in the field and visit farms.
Misha?
Well, the certifiers are already visiting every farm every year, so there's no need to duplicate that. You just have to get those certifiers to do what they're already being trained to do, and I organized the first sample collection training for organic inspectors through the International Organic Inspectors Association, and we're already there ready to do that. It's just that inspectors are waiting for the USDA to start doing testing, and if Mark agrees that testing 5% is good, why not 100%? We're already there. We're already there on the farm, so okay. We don't need any other group to do
Let's
that.
See what Wendy has to say from Turlock. Wendy, welcome aboard.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I have a couple comments, if I may.
Fire away.
Earlier in the presentation, it was presented almost like the certification groups are separate from the USDA, but let's keep in mind that they are actually the accredited agents of the USDA when they're out there conducting their inspections. They are the foot soldiers, so to speak, who are on the ground at every farm every year on behalf of the USDA. So that is their role, the certification groups. Secondly, actually, there's maybe three thoughts I'd like to share. What was brought up was food safety issues in regards to this recent outbreak, the hepatitis A issue.
Mm-hmm.
Let's keep in mind that free market kind of takes care of that topic, separate from the concept of organic. Because I work in the organic food industry, I know that the Food Safety and Modernization Act is requiring a great deal more documentation about food safety, including coliforms and E. coli, salmonella, issues like this. So the marketplace takes care of that. You would not believe the testing and reports that we have to do to sell any kind of food, organic or conventional, to any kind of marketplace customer, whether it's Costco or whether it's Hegman's or Raley's. Whoever, even if it's a granola maker, even if it's a food bar manufacturer, the level of food safety testing that's out there in the marketplace is really strong. I'm surprised that this hepatitis A
snuck on through. Wendy, I'm almost out of time, so let me ask you, to test or not to test?
My concern with testing, I don't know that I have a definitive yes or no. My concern with testing is the issue of drift, cross-contamination, things that farmers haven't intentionally added that are there in the environment. Maybe that's a whole other topic.
Well, I guess it is, but it isn't. You know, what do we do with accidental, incidental contamination? That was a big topic. Mark, Misha, Wendy, Kelly, Rick, thank you all for joining in. This has been the Food Chain Radio Program. We'll stay tuned next week for more What's Eating What Radio. And please remember, cheap food isn't.
You've been listening to the award-winning Food Chain Show with Michael Olson. If your friends missed the show today, tell them to log on to the radio page at www.metrofarm.com for a listen. Now go out and find some food with a farmer's face on it and live.